to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, it's so interesting to me. You know, I get, I'm no longer like blue checkmarked on X, so I get all these ads. And I recently saw one about, if you want to lose weight, these things aren't the way. You really, you know, you open it up and you go in and it's like, it's all about your VO2 max. I'm like, what? So can you talk about VO2 max and why it's such a gimmick? And I'm going to call it a gimmick right now, because like what it is and why they are talking about it and why it is a gimmick.
I know, it's because we have too many metrics on our watches. So what VO2 max is, it's your body's ability to use the oxygen it takes in. So all of us obviously are, you know, aerobic creatures and we breathe in and out. So some people have, when they take in oxygen, they can extract a lot more out of the air than other people and actually use it. So a lot of elite athletes have been measured with like really high VO2 maxes. And then the idea is they're more efficient because they can get more oxygen, which, by the way, is why there's so many drugs out there. It's like almost all of the performance enhancing drugs in endurance are about trying to get more oxygen out into the muscles. I mean, right? More work to be done. So what's a challenge is VO2 max is very genetic. You are born with pretty much a predetermined VO2 max. And for most of us, in that first 6 weeks of exercise is when you see the most improvement in VO2. And then past that, it's just like everybody else. You got to train, you got to do your work, you got to do, you know what I mean? And so, for example, like Lance Armstrong had one of the highest measured VO2 maxes when he was competing, yet he still did drugs. And I tell people, like, that's the challenge with just because your body has this efficiency, it doesn't create skill, it doesn't create talent. See, so same thing, like we had a marathoner, I want to think Joe Benoit Samuelson also had one of the highest VO2s, like 92%. And by the way, when I was in college, we did a ton of VO2 max testing because it was new. And I was in college 1990 to 94. And so like mine was normal. So I think it was like 75% at the time. And they said, oh, that's so normal for an aerobics instructor runner, you know, and it's actually pretty high, or it was, you know, considered that, if you will, certainly not 92%. But the interesting thing is back then when we were measuring it, it was more to see like, how did it correlate to people and their athletic ability and age and things like that. And we found, and of course, this is the important thing with studies, most of them are using college kids or elite athletes that are already like training. And the findings are very not non-significant, if you will. Like there's a challenge when your VO2 max gets to a certain point, the really only other way to get more efficient is through skill work, through technique work, through training, right? Just to getting out there. And so with the average recreational runner, you have a challenge because most of us are just trying to exercise, of course, to feel good. And some people are out there racing, don't get me wrong. But the reality is that your efficiency in your movement is going to come not so much from having a higher VO2, it's going to come from how you're performing the movement. And so, of course, when you're exercising, it's fun to see that data, see how high you're working. And same thing with heart rate, though. You know, it's kind of very similar where sometimes science will set numbers or parameters, and then they fluctuate, they change. And they do that so they can make a study, right? So they can have something to base their standard on. By the way, we see that with blood pressure all the time. The numbers are always changing, because science changes or you learn new things. So the same with VO2. The reality is that from 1990 to today, VO2 itself hasn't changed. Now, how they measure it has changed. It used to be they could only measure your VO2 by putting you on a treadmill or on a stationary bike, and they'd put this thing on your face, you know, to truly, so you, the oxygen you were breathing was directly being measured. And they, you know, they, now they call it a stress test, but that's how we measured VO2 back then. Today, of course, it's on your watch. So it's right. an estimate. And these, by the way, a lot of these numbers, because people like having data, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, my gosh, that you can now see like heart rate, valve resting, you know, like it's too much for people, to be honest. Like there's so much, you know, trying to get you to, and I, a lot of it's just trying to get you motivated because, you know, you want to keep seeing these changes. I want to see that I'm improving. I want to see these numbers, right? Same thing like heart rate. If people tell you you're supposed to be at this heart rate, well, same thing. When I was in college, we used all the same metrics for testing, and we found that most people, their heart rates didn't line up exactly in this 226 or 220 minus your age. And Carbonin himself, who developed that formula, said, "This is just an average, guys. I'm just doing this to have a base of measure for these studies." So just keep in mind, you know, when you read things like this, if it's something that's the newest thing, is it though? You know,
yeah, because
there's that's been a
exactly
lot of really
right.
good athletes for a lot of years. And then this is the same thing, by the way, like, why do they keep creating more and more super shoes, right? If really VO2 max was the answer. Like, I always tell people, look at everything around. They're just so, it's so hard to get to a place where we have to be like, guys, this is, you know, like we are pushing the limit of athletes right now, right? Just to see super shoes, we've got super everything. And there's just a reality that you're going to get to a really good place in your performance. And then to get better, you've got to practice that performance. And those guys that are, like I said, the guys that are measuring the highest VO2 maxes are still showing up at practice.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, When you are looking at your watch and you're looking at those metrics, really, what should I be concerned about? Like, I'm always looking at my steps, and I'm also looking at sometimes my heart rate, because sometimes, especially in heat, right, my heart rate will spike really high because it's hot. And I'm like, God, this is a harder run than I thought. And I look at my heart rate's up at 120 or whatever. It's like really high right. for me. And so you go, okay, let me just take it down a notch or take a little walking break and get back up there. What would you say are really the key stats that you really got to care about? Should
right.
care
well,
about?
I'll say this, because most runners, I mean, once you start really getting into running, like you and your body start to really get a nice relationship, you know? So for a lot of people, that's why you always hear elite runners talking about easy runs, because if your run is like fully to go full out, you know, whether it's on a track or on a training run, and you really are working at 90 up of your heart rate max, then you understand the reality of what's a hard run, what's an easy run, right? And that's very right. different. That's very different than it's really hot outside, so I need to alter my performance, because my performance is certainly not going to be top when it's humid and hot outside. Like that's in 100%. So then you have to go both by number and by feel, right? If you really know your heart rate parameters, like what we do for a lot of our runners, I always tell them to check your heart rate with, will it come down? Endurance heart rate, if you stopped running or you stopped your sprints, whatever you were doing, and you checked your heart rate, does it get back down to 120 within about a minute and a half? And if it's not getting back down, you are over fatigued. And that's important. However, if you're just winded because you're tired, you know, right? So I tell people, like, again, with us, we're all about if it doesn't feel good, you're not getting the stimulus you want out of what you're doing, stop for a second and reset, right? So if it is hot outside, maybe drink some water. Like, you know, those kinds of things you need to think about. But metric-wise, try to go by feel and then check that feel with the number. Like you just said, oh man, I'm not feeling that great. Like, or, you know, and then you can be like, well, it's hot outside, so that makes sense, right?
Right.
Versus like, gosh, I got a good night's sleep. I ate well. The weather's fine. What's wrong? See what I mean?
Yeah.
And I talked to my runners about that because this is kind of funny. When I first started teaching running, it really was only injured people. And I'm still basically only injured people. But they always were like, so scared of losing their fitness. You know, that's the fear, right? If I can't run, I'm losing my fitness. Even like stopping at a stop sign was like, oh my gosh, do I run in place? What do I do, right? This fear of like, I'm losing fitness. I'm like, well, actually your body is really amazing. And if during a run you have to stop and reset, nothing happens. In fact, right. Your body usually says, thank you. I mean, that's the reality. So when you start a relationship with your body and you start to listen, you actually will start to realize you're controlling those numbers. You know, if you're not feeling good, what can you do to feel better? And it could be nutrition or hydration, but it also could be lift your line. You know, like we give you so many tools to help you in how you feel. Anyway, I'm laughing because when I first started teaching running and I would ask someone, how do you feel? And I'm like, what do you mean? How do I feel? You know, I'm like, well, I mean, you can feel pain. It's just why you're here. You see what I mean? Right. Like runners weren't connecting with anything other than the end result. I got it done. How did it, you know, I had a great run. I finished it. I finished.
Right.
I soldiered through it. And if I hurt, I gritted through and I still see what I mean? Like we didn't have a real good connection of how running should feel. I mean, when I first met people, they were like, what do you mean feel? Like, you know, running's hard, you know, and I would ask people, well, what is running? Well, running is breathing hard. Running is moving fast. Like they didn't, I'm telling you, if you don't really understand what running is and what running should actually feel like, then you're not really measuring parameters either. You're just getting these numbers off your watch that are telling you, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's absolutely. Like, if you're getting really winded all the time and you think, well, it's because my VO2 max is too low. And I'm like, well, you don't know if it's because your VO2 max is too low. It's probably because you're moving inefficiently. Let's see if we can help you move more efficiently. And then I bet one, you'll see those numbers kind of start to change because you're actually using oxygen like you're supposed to, and you're moving more efficiently. So I would keep that in mind. If you're not seeing the numbers you like, let's talk about your movement, but also check how you're feeling first and then check it against that data.
Absolutely. So guys, if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about working with Valerie and getting into having her watch you run, maybe being coached in real time on a Zoom, which we do quite often, when we can get people to actually get on the Zoom. We have them at versatile times, but you know, some people, maybe they're just a little tired of Zooms. I get that. We would love to have you join us in the membership. You can go to runnerx.fit, that's runrx.fit, or you can go to our app. Just look up the RunnerX Academy and come into our app. We try to put free content. I'll be moving some videos around. We have the 3-2-1 run that's free and you can kind of get started, or you can join in the membership right from there. And all of the videos are right there in one location, so you don't have to pop out and come back in. It's all right there. And we are working on moving our community from Facebook into the app. So if you have a question or you want to check on something with Valerie, you can do it right there in the app. So look for that in 2026. We'll be sending out emails. So make sure you're on our list. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.